Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
All right, here we go. Think again. Think again. Welcome to our topic discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now starting our 54th year. Each week, we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connect you to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, so you can call in. You can join our discussion, I hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. And, of course, we have to go through this again. Our president was on display in a state-level royal visit to the United Kingdom. You would think that this would be a time when our president would not only be on his best behavior, but that he would be showing, he'd be showing the world the depth and quality of the leadership that we have here in the United States of America, that this would be a time to shine. But we have the hollow man, as opposed to a honest-to-goodness president, leader of the United States, we end up with hollow man. What am I talking about? Meghan Markle is the Duchess of Sussex, you know, in the line of succession for the royal crown in England. During the presidential campaign in 2016, Meghan had referred to Donald Trump as a misogynistic and divisive person and said that Trump made it easy to see that you don't really want the kind of world that Trump was espousing, that he was indicating that he would create. Even suggested that she might move to Canada if he had won. And that was, you know, almost 3 years ago. Trump, I just can't believe this. Trump says in response, he says that he was in response to a question from a reporter who asked him about that remark. Trump responded by saying that I didn't know that, you know, that she had made that remark. I didn't know that. What can I say? I didn't know that she was nasty. Now, he says this week about a duchess in the line of succession in the royal house of England, our closest ally. I mean, we are virtually a child of England and have had this relationship since the War of 1812. We have had this kinship relationship with England for all of this time. Trump then claims this week, he says, after making that statement, he says, I never called Meghan Markle a Markle nasty. That's made up by the fake news media. They got caught cold, and others, they should apologize for it. The New York Times should apologize for it. I doubt that they will. Well, I just want you to go, if you type into your search engine the words The Sun, The Sun is a tabloid newspaper in England, just type in the words The Sun and then Meghan Markle nasty, and you'll have websites come up where you can actually hear it being said, Donald Trump himself saying these words. I didn't know that. Okay. What can I say? I didn't know that she was nasty. Classic hollow man statements, lying without the least sense of shame. And of course, while on foreign soil, hollow man demonstrates his childish nature, attempting to denigrate House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. This article appeared in the Daily Mail this past Thursday. Donald Trump took a transatlantic shot at House Speaker Nancy Pelosi while he was in France on Thursday, unveiling a new derogatory name for her, calling her Nervous Nancy. he says that she said that rather than impeach Donald Trump, she would rather see him behind bars. And of course, Trump went completely crazy. So he goes to Laura Ingraham, who was an enabler of Donald Trump. And he says, Nancy Pelosi is a disaster. She's a disaster, okay? Let her do what she wants. You know what? I think they're in big trouble, you know, referring to the Democrats. Pelosi has so far resisted pressure to declare an all-out war on the White House, but did tell fellow Democrats that only that's only because she has a more aggressive endgame in mind for the president. Now, Trump... Trump is so odd. Trump is saying that it is Mueller who, according to Trump, made a fool of himself by writing a letter to William Barr straightening out testimony Mueller had never even given. Trump lashed out first. Let me go past that a little bit. It's unclear. Trump lashed out at Pelosi as he claimed former special counsel Robert Mueller made a fool out of himself last week in his remarks to the press as he left office. What people don't report, according to Trump, is the letter that Mueller wrote to Barr had to do. It was a letter that Trump or that Mueller had to do to straighten out his testimony because his testimony was wrong. He says Nancy Pelosi doesn't talk about it. Of course, it's unclear what Trump is talking about because Mueller hadn't testified to anyone. There was no testimony to straighten out. Mueller did say that charging the president was a crime, that or charging the president with a crime was not an option that his team would consider. He said if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said that. However, he said his team concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or another about whether the president committed a crime, noting here that he said his team would not reach a conclusion that Trump had committed a crime, not that they could not reach such a conclusion. Obviously, Mueller is saying that they could have reached a determination, but they chose not to do so. Attorney General William Barr had testified in a Senate hearing that Mueller had assured his team that he emphatically was not saying that, but for the rule, the Justice Department rule, that Mueller would have found obstruction. Attorney General Barr continues to insist that there's no conflict between what he's saying and what Mueller is saying. Just another little point here. Trump thinks that the border with Ireland is the same, or situation with Ireland between Northern Ireland and Ireland is the same as the border situation between Mexico and the United States. In an article in the Washington Post, shortly after arriving in Ireland, Trump compared the Irish border to the U.S. border with Mexico and told Prime Minister Leo Varadkar that the tortured Brexit process is going to be fine. He says Ireland's going to be in good shape. He says, I don't think the border is going to be a problem at all. Holloman, of course, is too ignorant to comprehend that the idea of a border wall between Northern Ireland and Ireland is the exact opposite of what Trump wants between Mexico and the United States. Tearing down border checkpoints between Ireland and Northern Ireland is what helped to end decades of deadly conflict in the North. The fear is that the emergence of a hard border as a consequence of Brexit could both disrupt close trade relationships and reignite the violence that was going on 25 or 30 years ago between Northern Ireland and Ireland. Trump compared the Irish border with which politicians are striving to keep invisible to the U.S. southern border, which he has pledged where he has pledged to build a wall of steel. He says, Trump says, it will work out very well also for you with your wall, your border. You have a border situation in the United States. We have a border situation in the United States, and you have one over here. Of course, Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, sitting next to Trump, pushed back gently and said, I think one thing we want to avoid is a wall or border between us. Trump tried to defend his criticism that his trip to Ireland was just another way to promote one of his golf resort properties at taxpayers' expense. He says, no, this trip is really about great relationships that we have with the United Kingdom. I really wanted to do this stop in Ireland. It was really important to me because of the relationship I have with the people and with your prime minister. Of course, Trump is just not aware that Ireland has not been a part of the United Kingdom since 1922, almost 100 years ago. Of course, so when he was visiting Ireland, he was not visiting the United Kingdom. He was visiting a different country. You would think that the person who was the president of the United States would know where he himself was visiting. Trump, of course, it's no different than Trump not being aware that Puerto Rico is a part of the United States, or telling the representatives of the Virgin Islands when they were hit by the same hurricane that Puerto Rico was hit by, tell your president, you know, that we really appreciate him. Trump, again, too dense to understand that the Virgin Islands are a part of the United States. We elect representatives to the Congress from the Virgin Islands. How in the world can you be the president of the United States and not know that? Listen, I got to stop right there because I took a minute longer than I normally would. So we got a lot more we'll talk about. But let me get Tony first. Then we'll grab John. Then we'll grab Rambo Jim. And I'm sure Rambo Jim is going to tell me how great Trump is, even though this man is showing himself to be what I just described. Let me go to Tony first. Then we'll go to John. Then we'll go to Rambo. Tony, how are you doing out there?
Oh, it's a wonderful day today, a wonderful sunny day for change.
Yep.
First of all, Mr. Trump does not represent the people of the United States. He may think he does, but he doesn't. The standards of expectations that we have for this man going anywhere is so low that it is beyond belief. Just having him read from the script that the speech they give him is acceptable. The man has no idea of what he's doing. I can't believe that anybody would think that Hollow Man is a representative of this country. First of all, think about it. He's at a cemetery at the cemetery at Normandy, mm-hmm, with the graves behind him, mm-hmm, giving the interview to Laura Ingraham at a time when he was holding up the ceremony and admitted it.
Right.
He admitted, I want to give this interview even if I'm holding up the thing. Can you imagine this? When we sent President Obama to these things, he represented our country well. He never made these kind of gaffes. You know, we when we send him over, we expect the worst to happen, don't we?
Exactly.
We expect the worst.
Right. In fact, we count things based on how many bad things he does. That's what tells us whether it was a decent trip or not.
Right. The preparation for this trip, the people that surrounded him, even on the airplane, said to him, please don't speak out unless it's a prepared remark.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this. You're hurting the presidency in general. Let's get some other things here. We had this wonderful report yesterday of 75,000 new jobs added.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, in the Obama era, if you didn't have 125,000, the press came down on them like a bag of bricks.
Right. Now they say if it's 100,000 or more, it's a great report. You know, everything is euphemized when it's for Donald Trump.
Exactly. Well, here's the real problem here. We have over 7 million open jobs in this country, right?
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Right. If every American who is unemployed filled these jobs, we would still need 1.5, according to the economist, not me,
mm-hmm,
1.5 million new other jobs had to be filled.
Right.
Now, who is going to fill who would fill these new jobs?
You mean immigrants?
Immigrants. Immigrants would have to fill them.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? 7 million open jobs. Why aren't these jobs open?
Well, Georgia just says that we should just have more kids.
You know, yeah, we should have a higher birth rate.
Right.
Well, actually, that's telling women to have children they don't have the ability to support. Because look at the increase in pay that we supposedly are giving people. It's less than 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And 3%, you can't even keep up with the current change in the prices at the grocery store.
Yep.
Anybody that goes to the grocery store knows buying produce or certain things is more expensive. Now, according to the thing I saw at midnight last night, there's an agreement between Mexico and the United States on the tariff, right?
Right.
Well, that's a lot of crap. Because have you heard any details of that agreement?
They're not going to give you any details. And in fact, the fundamental thing that Trump was asking for was that Mexico become what they refer to as a safe haven country.
Would be a holding center for those seeking asylum.
And Mexico said that they can't do that, that they were unwilling to do that. So all of the other stuff that Trump and Mexico rhetorically talked about are just little fringy kind of things. Mexico has a very small National Guard. So the assertion that they're going to send their National Guard to the southern border between Mexico and Guatemala and that that's going to be a big deal, that's just crazy. What Trump wants to do is to have Mexico militarize their border, their southern border, and have constant fights and riots and, you know, tear gas and all that stuff going on between Mexico and the Guatemalans, and take that pressure off of the southern border of the United States. As I said before, I keep saying this, I'm putting out on the internet, people just don't seem to get it. The simplest way to solve the problem is to set up a public works program in southern Mexico, pay for it with $500 or $600 million of American money, pay people $2,500 a year or $50 a week. That would be slightly more than the minimum wage that's paid in those countries anyway, but they would be safe. They would have jobs. You would create a commercial corridor on the southern border. You would pay for it with the taxes you would charge to those wages, which would be $50 or $60 million in taxes, which would pay for your police and your fire and your sewer and all the other kind of stuff you have to have in municipal infrastructure. This is a solvable problem. But we would rather spend $5 or $6 billion to solve something that we could solve with $500 or $600 million. This is just the lack of thought on the part of this administration.
Well, the thing is in United States immigration law, a person has to touch our native soil to claim asylum.
Not if they get that.
They have to actually enter the United States, or at least have 2 feet in America. So that is why, if they're going to try to keep these people seeking asylum, first they have to enter at those points that we talked about in the past.
Right.
Secondly, they can't be shipped to Mexico and be held for a period of up to 2 years. Mexico's not going to, it's illegal. Don't you see that's in the...
I get it, but that's what this idea of this safe harbor country designation is about. So you wouldn't have to...
It's illegal because it's an executive order. It's against the law.
Okay. I'm just telling you...
Don't you understand?
I'm just telling you this is what Trump was negotiating with Mexico, okay?
He doesn't care what's legal, does he?
Trump doesn't believe in the law. Trump just believes in what Trump wants.
Yeah, well, Hollow Man's tax plan, according to the last thing I saw on TV yesterday, it's going to cost us at least $400 for each American.
Yep.
$400, right?
Yep.
$400 out of my pocket means I can't buy something else, right?
Everything that Trump talks about at the end of the day requires taking more money from the American population to pay for it. Even when he talks about these tariffs, you know, on say, soybeans, now he's putting up subsidies to the soybean farmers to pay for the money that they're not getting from being able to sell their crops to China and other places and so on. It's this constantly picking winners and losers. That's what Trump is doing all the time.
And one last point.
Yep.
That tax plan will cost us $2 trillion in deficits going into next year. despite what John says in Rochester. All you have to do is go on CNBC, and they'll tell you that plan is costing $2 trillion in deficits. Am I right?
There you go. All right, we got to run, Tony. I got to get to this first break, and then we're going to get John on, then we'll get Rambo Jim on. So if you all stick with us, we will see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Car Crash, Joselino.
A serious auto injury tears your whole life apart. How do you get your car replaced? Who pays your medical bills? What if you can't work? Celino and Celino has the answers.
Car Crash, call Celino. Celino, call Celino. 2020. Car Crash, call Celino.
It's not your fault you're in this situation. So let Celino and Celino level the playing field. Trust the attorneys who know how to take on the insurance companies.
Car Crash, call Celino. Celino, call Celino. 2020.
Main Street, Buffalo.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
We have the cleanest air in the world in the United States, and it's gotten better since I'm president. We have the cleanest water. It's crystal clean, and I always say I want crystal clean water and air, so I haven't heard his comments, but we do have, we're setting records.
Of course, what's so interesting about that comment, I didn't have it for today's program. I had it for a program that I did on Friday, and the record shows that the last year that we had the cleanest air in the United States was in 2016 under the Obama administration, and the air has gotten worse during the course of the Trump administration. The what? 27. That's not bad. Out of the 195 countries in the United Nations, we're number 27. We used to be number one. But now we're number 27. But Trump feels good about that. And as always, if Trump is talking, by definition, he is either wrong deliberately or he's wrong not deliberately, but still wrong. It just doesn't make sense. Just a quick thing before I get John on. This is from the editor of Democracy Now!, Gary Young. And he was just trying to explain these protests in England against Donald Trump's visit. And this is his only a few, just, you know, tens of thousands of people. Trump looks at those tens of thousands of people and thought that they were there cheering him. And he says there are two things that explain these protests. The first is our utter embarrassment and horror that our government and our prime minister, Theresa May, would be the first out of the blocks to run and have invited Trump. She rushed to be the first prime minister, first world leader to have met him. And his visit is an insult to every right-minded, right-thinking person. And then second, his Islamophobia, or his whatever you call it comments, his misogynistic comments, his racism, and so on, are repulsive to the kind of Britain that many of us are engaged in building to every migrant, to every black person, to every Muslim, and so on. For our own sake, we have to say to this man, you are not welcome. Now, that's from not from me. That's from the words of a resident of the United Kingdom. Let me get John on from Lockport, then we'll get Rambo Jim on. John, how are you doing out there?
Good, Nathan. Last week I had mentioned about the false equivalency I keep getting from my friends who don't understand the system. And saying that the Democrats were just as bad as the Republicans, mm-hmm. they can't get anything done. And, of course, you mentioned about the 100 bills that were passed in the House and can't get through McConnell. Now, I think that just goes to show what the Republican strategy is. After Reagan destroyed the middle class with his tax cut, they were done legislating, really. After that, as long as they got that top 1%, that a great tax cut, and the top 1% took off from that point on. The only thing that they had to do after that was last year they passed another tax cut that helped that top 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the Republicans don't want to do anything. Their strategy is to just do nothing, and they're doing a great job of it. And mm-hmm. you can see how well they're doing it right now with McConnell in the Senate. He stops everything. So as long as he's there, just like what he said about Obama administration, he said, my job from here on out is to stifle everything that Obama does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, and that's the Republican strategy.
Yep.
They don't want to pass any bills. I don't know what they've done besides pass tax cuts for billionaires in the last. I think, and again, here's the thing, and I think maybe you can help me out with this. In the last 40 years, because it takes a Democratic president, a Democratic House, and a Democratic Senate to get anything done, like Obama did in his first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the last 40 years, we've only had that situation for 4 years out of 40.
That's right.
I think only 2 years with Clinton and 2 years with Obama, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Only, those are the only 4 years in the last 40.
Right. Obama's first 2 years, he had a majority in the House and the Senate. In his first 2 years, and even with the majority in the House and the Senate, Obama went through heck and high water trying to get the Affordable Care Act or a version of it passed, because
Joe Lieberman.
There you go.
That's the if we had got the public option, you know, then I don't think we would have had any the trouble that we have now with the Obamacare.
Well, the Republicans would find some way to undermine. Everything that you were doing at the county, state, and federal level, because they didn't want it to succeed. That's the problem. You know, it's hard for you to solve a problem if you don't want to solve it. That's why the war on poverty worked for its first 5 years. It dropped poverty from 23% of the country in 1960 to 12.7% of the country in 1970. But then for the rest of that time, the custody of the war on poverty was largely in the hands of Republican presidents, and poverty didn't get any better over that time period. It got worse during each one of those Republican administrations. That's the reality. And the fact that our citizens in our country don't understand this, or rather, I shouldn't say they don't understand it, they don't react to it. It's almost like as long as what the Republicans are doing is mouthing their assaults on the people they consider to be the others, as even if it means that these Republican conservative evangelist, you know, voters, that even if they lose things, if they actually get hurt, as long as the others are also getting hurt, are getting hurt primarily, they seem to be okay with that, and that's crazy.
It's a conspiracy brought on by the very rich. They use this propaganda to bring in the evangelicals and all these other people, and then the evangelicals and all these other people get hurt by what
mm-hmm.
they do, but they don't care.
You know,
they do great job with propaganda. Republicans, you got to give them credit. I mean, all they do is stifle things. That's all they've done for the last 40 years. After Reagan passed that tax cut, that set that top 1% in motion for the next 40 years.
Yep.
And that's where they are today. And Trump just helped them a lot more last year with that tax cut.
Yep. All right. I appreciate you, John. We'll holler next week. Thanks. Let me get Rambo Jim on and get his thoughts. So, you know, we got this clean air issue. We got the water issue. Rambo, just real quickly. Now, I know you're a friend of the folks in West Virginia and so on. I got family that are mining people in West Virginia, up in Beckley, West Virginia, and so on. But my guess, my understanding is, coal is on its way out. I don't care what you say or do, you know, in terms of all these people that are still in coal. But if you look around the world in the countries that are closest to us economically, they're all phasing out of coal and they're moving into non-fossil fuel energy sources. What's your thought about that?
Well, first of all, we got to keep our own people working. And Trump's first responsibility is not to be the president of the world, to be the president of the United States. And as far as all this stuff that you guys preach about the world, we're all going to be dead in 12 years, global warming, all this nonsense. I was channel surfing the other night,
mm-hmm.
and some kid, no, I think they said he's a Dutch kid.
Was he on a motorcycle?
No.
With a Johnny Reb, you know, flag on his back?
A Dutch kid from Holland.
Okay.
Now, what this kid said was that... He's just a kid. He can't be more than 18 or 19.
Yeah, that's a good source of information.
This kid came up with a plan that the scientists have looked at to clean up the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientists are saying this kid's plan, this kid said, we can clean up the oceans of the world in 10 years following my plan. A bunch of scientists, about a half dozen or so scientists got together. They looked at it and they said, you know what? It looks like this kid is right. The Swedish people, you guys are screaming about the world is going to come to an end. They said, well, we've got a problem with all this garbage in the world. They have built a brand new state-of-the-art garbage incinerator. It is the most high-tech incinerator ever, garbage incinerator that has been built in the history of the world. And what a couple of scientists are saying about that, wait a minute. If that thing's working in Sweden, why wouldn't it work in America and Canada?
So Rambo, let's
okay,
but Rambo, let's take what you just said. Let's just assume that it's 100% correct, that every technique that they said could work would work, that the machine that's okay, and the machine in Sweden would work. Let's suppose that's true.
It is working.
Where does leadership come from? Does it come from the party worker or the election supervisor or the mailman, or does it come from the White House? Does it come from the executive leadership of the United States? So you're telling me that there are these two strategies that are out here that you say would work. How come the White House is not on that? I can show you, which I will before this program is over, I will show you that there is a technique that would reduce Alzheimer's incidence in the United States by 2/3. And the White House has actually gone the opposite way to support against it rather than support for it.
Nathan, my mother's from back in the hills in Tennessee. She always used to say, God bless her soul, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You guys won't work with Trump. All you want to do is destroy the man.
What does that have to do with what I just said? If Trump got behind the two things you just said, if Trump himself got behind it and said, I've discovered these things, my scientists have looked at these things look like they will work and they will produce these benefits for our world and for our American economy, are you telling me that the American Democrats would not jump on that bandwagon and be oaring that boat themselves or pulling that wagon themselves? Don't be crazy about that. The Democrats would be the first ones in line getting that done.
Nancy Pelosi just hates Trump, and the rest of them, they all say,
but you Rambo, you're always taking disconnected things and trying to act like they're connected. The thing that you talked about is that Sweden has a way to get rid of garbage that wouldn't pollute the world, and that this kid has a way to get rid of pollution in the ocean that wouldn't pollute the world. Those are two things. The issue of whether or not Pelosi likes or doesn't like Donald Trump is irrelevant. If those things are true, why isn't Donald Trump? He's the president, not Nancy Pelosi, not Chuck Schumer, not somebody in Tallahassee. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Why isn't he the one who is standing up, championing these two things that you just talked about, and getting Republicans on board with it? Why aren't the Republicans responsible for seeing to it that we're not polluting the world, that we're not destroying the planet that we need to be leaving to our children? Why isn't that a Republican responsibility? Why is that always a Democratic responsibility? Where do you ever see the Republicans ever lining up with any strategy that would produce any benefits of any mass kind for people other than tax cuts?
Well, for instance, let's look at California. Now, the Israelis have state-of-the-art desalinization plants
that's true.
They work because they're working in Israel.
Right.
Top scientists have said if you built approximately between 20 and 24 of them across the state of California, California would then become a drought-free state. But the Republicans have nothing to say about what's going on in California. It's the Democrats that run these places.
Didn't California have a Republican governor for 8 years named Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, what was that, back in the 1990s?
No, that was in the 2000s, okay?
So he got when did he get elected?
That was just 6 years ago that he left office.
All right, so...
No, not all right. That's just 6 years ago that he left office. The technology that you're talking about was already technology when Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor. You don't assign any responsibility for Arnold Schwarzenegger to get this done.
They won't work together. They can't. They hate this. They just hate Trump, and they're not going to work.
Where's the evidence that you have of any kind that the Democrats would not work with the Republicans to do something to cost-effectively desalinate water, to cost-effectively get smog out of the air, to cost-effectively move from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources? Where have you seen any record anywhere of any time when the Democrats were not willing to work with the Republicans to try to get that done? Anywhere. You're just saying that. You just think that the Democrats won't work with the Republicans. The Democrats have worked with the Republicans on every on the issues that we're talking about on immigration. The Democrats put together an immigration plan. They worked together with the Republicans. They took out the things the Republicans absolutely were not willing to go along with and put together an immigration plan, put it on the desk of Donald Trump. He said he would sign it, and then 3 days later he didn't sign it, and we still haven't gotten any motion on immigration over the course of that time. Democrats have done all kinds of bipartisan initiatives, but they're just fake bipartisan initiatives because the Republicans, who pretend that they're with the Democrats on these issues, know that Donald Trump is not going to sign the bill, and so they can pretend that they're on the side of something and then blame it on Donald Trump. The truth is, it's the opposite of what you were saying. It's the Republicans who refuse to work with the Democrats unless the Republicans get what they want out of the deal, and they always want the same thing. They want tax cuts. They want deregulation. They want to cannibalize Medicaid. They want to cannibalize Medicare. They want to cannibalize Social Security. That's the reality. Where you get your pensions from would be cannibalized by these people if they had their way.
Oh, I'm not quite so sure about that, Nathan, because you know they're going to take care of all us Walmart shoppers. They're not going to let anything happen to us because we're the ones that put Trump in there.
Walmart shoppers are the ones who are literally receiving social services while they're working full time.
Some of them, but you can't. But Nathan,
The vast majority of people that work for Walmart receive incomes that are so low that their families still qualify for food stamps and Medicaid. And therefore, the vast majority of people who work for Walmart are being subsidized by the state, county, and federal government because their incomes are so low, despite the fact that they work full time.
Walmart truck drivers are Nathan, I'm not making this up.
But the vast majority of people that work for Walmart are not the truck drivers. There may be 1% of the people that work for Walmart. The vast majority of the people that work for Walmart are cashiers. They're stock clerks. They're receiving and shipping clerks and so on. Those people make income.
Walmart, I don't know. What is the starting rate at Walmart?
It's somewhere around, just a little bit more than minimum wage. It's somewhere around $13 an hour. Right, and I'm sorry, my bad. I just heard it's as low as $11 an hour.
Okay, that's the start.
Right,
that's your starting rate.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know. After you've been there a couple.
But
of
my
years,
point is let me scale this for you so you understand the problem. If you have a family of four, and you made $30,000 a year, that's $15 an hour. You would still qualify for food stamps and Medicaid. Because that income for a family that size, that's a normal family, one or two adults and two or three kids, that's a normal family. You would qualify for public assistance even though you were working full time. So let's stop talking. I mean, the talking points are not what's got to be at play here. Let's just talk around facts. The facts are that this administration is totally focused on doing things that are in the interest of business, that are in the interest of the wealthy, for keeping dollars in their pocket as opposed to putting dollars on the table to enable the infrastructure, the social and physical infrastructure of the United States to work. That's
Nathan,
the issue that's on the table.
Nathan, let me run this by you because this is an extremely important point. Some of the smaller trucking outfits, you know, they're everywhere you go across the United States, all 50 states, they're just begging for more truck drivers. The smaller outfits are now starting to go out under because the millennial kids would rather live in their parents' basement because they consider it beneath their dignity to be a truck driver,
okay,
a welder, a pipe fitter, auto mechanic, truck mechanic.
I get that. But, you know, again, you're talking about the tiniest part of the issue. I mean, there's only so many people that are truck drivers, only so many truck driver jobs, that's such a tiny part of the overall jobs picture and whatnot. Every time I talk to you about, you know, what is the general, you try to get off on some side tiny thing, you know, on this truck driver thing. I'm saying to you that the vast majority of people that work for Walmart, that work for Giant, that work for Publix and all of these other big, you know, retail chains, the vast majority of the people that work for those organizations are making incomes that make those people's households eligible for food stamps and Medicaid. That's something that has to change. Telling me about, you know, whether or not somebody who wants to, the idea that somebody's making a choice between sitting on their mother's couch, you know, or working as a truck driver. There may be a couple of people that have that, you have that example with. I don't know that. I don't know anybody who is that person. But that's not the issue that's in front of us. We're talking about macro. We're talking about what's going to be in the best interest for us as a nation, not what happened to one person in some one city, in some town, on some sofa someplace. Rambo, we got to rock. I got to get Donnie on. No, we got to take our last break. I appreciate you, Rambo. Hope to talk to you again next week. If you all stick with us, and then we'll get Donnie on. We'll see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at 2 convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
It's post time.
It's the 151st Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 8th. Advanced wagering available on Friday, June 7th. Watch, wager, and win on BataviaBets.com, at your local OTB, or area easy bets like Matt's News in Dunkirk or Pages in Depew. Visit WesternOTB.com to find the location near you. You can also wager at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel with over 800 gaming machines and luxury hotel just off Thruway Exit 48, Batavia.
Batavia Downs is more, lots more.
Watkins Glen International is closer than you think. It's less than a three-hour drive to see the world's best drivers and hottest sports cars. Take the short drive to Watkins Glen, New York, June 27th through the 30th, when the Salem 6 Hours of the Glen returns. Get your tickets today at theglen.com.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
To one of them fancy restaurants. I want to take you shopping on a shopping spree.
That's right.
And buy you anything you want. I want to get your body massaged. Mm-hmm. Get your hair and nails done. Keep you looking good. Keep you on the one. But I can't. And that's no lie.
And I'm not going to go as far. He says I'm broke. Let me just quickly, before I hit Donnie, I want you to just feel this real quickly. This is an article written by Jill Provost about Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company, knew its drug could prevent Alzheimer's, did nothing about it. This is in Being Patient Online magazine. In 2015, Pfizer discovered that their drug Enbrel, an anti-inflammatory drug used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, also appeared to lower the risk of Alzheimer's disease by a whopping 64%. No one learned about the discovery because the company chose not to pursue any further investigation, decided not to release its findings. Pfizer uncovered the potential during an analysis of hundreds of thousands of insurance claims, where they found that these people that they were treating for, or they were being treated for rheumatoid arthritis, who were in that pool of people that tend to come down with Alzheimer's, they found that the incidence of Alzheimer's amongst that population receiving this drug fell by 64%. Enbrel could potentially safely prevent, this is the drug's name, Enbrel, could potentially safely prevent, treat, and slow progression of Alzheimer's disease. However, the clinical trial that you would have to take that drug through would cost about $80 million. You can't tell me that Pfizer can't afford $80 million for a clinical trial. They sat on this information for 3 years, then decided not to follow up on it, stating that the drug wouldn't work because the molecules of the drug are too large to reach the brain. Now, Pfizer learned about the effect of this drug because it was being taken by hundreds of thousands of people using it to treat arthritis. Obviously, it got into those people's brains and protected 64% of them from contracting Alzheimer's. Pfizer, of course, had no incentive to invest money in proving the value of a drug whose market value was going to shift to generic manufacturers because Pfizer's patent was about to expire. In other words, because of the lack of opportunity to make money by charging $20,000 a pill or whatever it is they do, you know, for these kinds of drugs, Pfizer kept this discovery off the market. This is what happens when you have a profit-based healthcare system. Thought we'd get that on the air. Let me get Donnie in Middleport. Then I think we have Ron, and then we have John in Rochester. Donnie, how you doing out there?
Yeah, good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We only got a few minutes. You got to rock.
Here we go. This thing, this trade war coming up with Mexico here,
mm-hmm.
how much of that got to do to a throwback, never stop really, of these paternalistic economies? It seems like here in the West want to control every nation's economy. And I remember clearly it was President Nixon and Reagan who took our jobs and our entrepreneurial opportunities over to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that the Asians are proficient with it, now it's a problem.
Right.
You can see the writing on the wall. The power is going to leave the West and return back to the East.
Well, you know, people don't understand that this was not an accident. This was a deliberate policy decision to have American companies move their productive resources to countries that had large populations, very poor, a lot of economic discord, having those countries ending up getting large manufacturing bases meant they got large numbers of people working in those manufacturing operations. Even if they were low wage workers, they were still making more than, you know, 50 cents a day, which is what a lot of those folks were earning at that time. And so that was a deliberate policy decision. The problem is people don't stay where they start. Once they learn how to produce stuff, they started learning how to make stuff on their own, how to design their own stuff that they can produce, and then they became their own base, and they began to be able to become their own source of product. They came back to the United States, and we find ourselves in the situation that we're in now, where we're being outcompeted by other countries for things that we used to be the number one producers of. So sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, because sometimes you might get it.
One more thing, quick. Over 100 years ago, after the Spanish-American War, the United States had a thing called the Great White Fleet, and they ran their fleet all over the planet, threatening other nations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, China seems like they're going to do the same thing, because they're building new aircraft. They're building aircraft carriers for the first time, wherever they can get their technology, and they're going to go right down for the South China Sea, just like the Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what comes around goes around.
That's the way it works. That is exactly the way it works. So you should be careful who you step on the way up, because on the way down, you may have to meet those people again. Thanks, Donnie. We got to run. We got to get two more calls out before the end of this hour. Let me get Ron and Cheat the Walker. How you doing, Ron?
Oh, it could be worse. Yeah. Interesting. All these new technologies that Rambo Jim was talking about, I read something a long time ago that there's a process out there that could be used. It's a complete burning process.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could have a treatment plant, like an incinerator, whatever you want to call it. There's a couple of big problems with it. It is massively expensive. Back in, I don't know, the early 80s or whenever they talked about this, to build something to handle the trash in one medium-sized city cost about $8 billion to build.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe we could do that someday, but with the irresponsible tax policies of the Republicans, where are we going to get the money from? Were we going to just print it up? I mean, the Republicans say you shouldn't be doing that, even if it was possible to do that. And I haven't heard anything about it since the early 80s. I can't even remember that much, but there was something about that. But it's never going to get done if there's no tax revenue for it. So that's, again, and I'm not so sure whether they might have, I haven't followed this very, very well, but whether there could have been some kind of other technological issues. If I remember correctly, the only byproducts of this would have been water vapor and carbon powder, which you could have disposed, not carbon dioxide. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, the point is that I remember the price tag back then was $8 billion. For a city about the size of Buffalo.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a lot of money.
And you got to look at how much you're going to be able to get rid of with that $8 billion expenditure for that one machine. Right.
If you had $2 to $3 trillion, maybe it would actually make a dent to build these. But as I say, with these tax policies of this constant austerity and that thing by the Republicans, that would never happen. Something other was said. Did you, by the way, going to pop up about Trump in Britain? I mean, have you ever seen anything as gauche as his behavior there? Imagine telling the British that part of a trade, he walked it back only because Scotland said they're going to secede if that happens,
mm-hmm.
which they almost did anyway. But telling them that as part of the trade agreement that the British Isles must privatize their health care system. Can you imagine that? And it caused such out. Even the Tories didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say Scotland said if that happened, we'd have to reconsider whether we want to associate with the British being part of Great Britain. And but you don't do that. You don't go to other people's country and endorse politicians, at least not friends, you know, not allies. He says he got this special relationship. I have never seen anybody act so incredibly arrogant. He's talking about, he gives a new meaning to ugly American.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's when we were kids. That's what they used to call him, the ugly American.
Well, it was a book or whatever, wasn't it? Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, it's just so. And he's endorsing at a time, and of course, it causes even more division. The Tories are having a problem because they don't want to. They don't know exactly how they're going to get out of Brexit, and so Theresa May steps out, and he's endorsing a right wing faction in there, and it's caused a lot of problems. You know that.
And how do we claim that we're upset about Vladimir Putin and the Russians interfering in the American elections, when Donald Trump sits here right in our faces and openly interferes in the United Kingdom's elections?
Yeah, well, and the thing is that, you know, that's one of the fundamental issues about the whole intervention by the Russians. We shouldn't support it, and certainly if somebody's getting financial benefit personally from it, something has to be looked at. But yeah, I know that's one of the things that always got me. It seems so hypocritical to claim that other countries interfere in our election when we've overthrown governments,
entire governments, killed the leaders of other countries. Right, exactly. Yep. All right, Ron, I got to run. I got to get John on before the end of the hour. Thanks, man. John, how are you doing out there in Rochester? And Rochester is not flyover country. Stop saying that. I have family in Rochester. It's not flyover country. It is a part of America.
But to get to Rochester, flyover country. but listen, you know, Russian interference and all that stuff. The Mueller report showed that the Trump administration did not interfere.
No, it didn't. Don't say that. That's not true. That's not true. Stop saying things that are not true. That's not what the report said.
The collusion with the Russians with the Trump campaign was proved false.
That's not true.
Yes.
That's patently not true. It was not proven false.
Yes.
No. What the Mueller report said was that they couldn't. Number one, collusion is not a statutory crime. In the first place, collusion is not a crime. Conspiracy to commit a crime is a crime. Well, and what they said in the Mueller report was that they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough information that they could prove that Donald Trump knew what he was doing. Not that there wasn't evidence that colluded.
He's doing a great job. Okay. But you know,
he's
kicking people to Russia. After the fall of the Soviet Union, Clinton sent people to Russia to interfere with the Russian elections. Obama funded interference in the Israeli elections. Obama funded interference in the Canadian elections that got a conservative bounce out of office.
So now you're doing what Rambo Jim is doing. First you start out saying that Trump did not engage in any collusion, and then you finish up by saying, "Well, other presidents did engage in collusion in interfering with other countries' elections." So, are you saying that it's okay? Are you saying that it's okay for Trump to have been signing on with the Russians to interfere in the American election? Because the issue that's on the table is the issue that's on the table is not somebody else doing something. The issue that's on the table is whether or not
collusion with Russia. Trump was not interfered.
Argue one thing or the other. You can't justify Trump's behavior by talking about somebody else's behavior.
$30 million was spent on the Mueller report. There was no collusion.
That's not true. You're saying things that are not true. I know you and William Barr are cousins and you read from the same songbook, but that is patently not true.
No illegal collusion.
That's not true. Okay. All right, John. I know that they put you on assignment to come on to the radio program and make that statement, but that's just patently not true. Read the Mueller report. When you get done reading the actual report, tell me after you read it whether or not you think that there was no collusion going on with allies of Donald Trump and allies of Vladimir Putin. I mean, 34 indictments, four people in prison. Don't tell me that does not prove that there was some kind of something going on between Donald Trump's allies and so on. Listen, we got to run. I appreciate it. We're glad that summer is starting. We skipped spring. We went right from winter to spring. It's okay. We're not mad. We'll do summer now. We look forward to talking to you all next week here at Think Again. Think Again.
You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.